Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hello to all our American viewers. This is Chris Meany. I'm Ashley Docking, and we're glad that you could join us today because we're getting into some interesting stuff since the NFL season is winding down. We're going to shift focus. It's not over.
I know, I'm just kidding.
That's actually just factually incorrect.
Yeah.
And again, and a little bit more later in Lies in Sports, so we're going to talk about. So we're going to hit some MLB talk because we're going to get you prepared a little bit early for potentially your season-long drafts today. We're going to talk about the second base position. Chris is going to share his top 10 rankings, and we're going to dive into that a little bit. But there's also some NHL games on the slate. Actually, there's a ton of NHL games on the slate. So Michael Clifford is going to join us and give his DFS plays. But first, as per tradition, our news and notes, and we're going to talk about the Monday nighter, Carolina beating Washington. I don't think I've ever seen a team as excited to still be under 500 as Carolina was yesterday. Congratulations.
Hey, Cam, he needs his wins, right? He gets so sour when he's up there at the podium after the game. He's like, yeah, you know, we try. You know, I didn't show up to the game in time, so I'm going to be not starting. That's what we've seen before from Cam.
I didn't wear a tie, so I'm going to be benched.
What a brutal loss from Washington last night. Home field, Monday night, a chance that must win to get to the playoffs, and this team just didn't even show up. Cam had a nice, productive game. You know, he's been fairly quiet over the past few games. He was really good yesterday. Ted Ginn Jr., again, it's like five straight weeks now, he's outperformed Kelvin Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And in those 5 weeks, four of the five, he's been at least wide receiver 22. So he's getting it done. He's got touchdowns in four of his last five games. It's obviously too late to talk about
late.
From a fantasy standpoint. But maybe you're in the finals next week. Maybe you have Ted Ginn and, you know, you just continue to roll him because he's getting it done. And this is not really something that I would have expected. You know, I thought last year was a little fluky.
Yep.
Dropped a lot of balls. We do know he's speedy and he runs like one route and it's just a go route, but he's getting it done right now, so I gotta give him some credit. But on the other side, Washington, like Pierre Garçon showed up, but nobody else really showed up. Rob Kelly was awful. He scored a touchdown, but his yards per carry wasn't great. Jordan Reed, obviously, he's banged up, punched somebody in the head, got kicked out.
That was bad.
That was awful.
Although I don't really necessarily blame him.
Yesterday you said you never punched anyone, you never think about punching anyone or slapping anyone, and now you're not going to blame him for punching someone in a football game.
Did you see the guy holding on to his arm?
I don't care.
He was holding him, he was pulling him, chopping at him. He already has shoulder issues. This is not going to make anything better. Plus, he just gave him like a little jab, like a little snuff. I think he was wearing one of those eye masks anyway, so he just bounced off the plexiglass.
Guaranteed you slapped somebody when you were younger.
I 100% did not. Jonathan Stewart, 132 yards.
Yeah.
Very good game for him, which we did anticipate him having a strong one. He's
Washington's
been on the up and up, and Washington's run defense is suspect. And then Cam, 300 yards, two touchdowns. The Bucks definitely appreciated the win. They sent out a tweet. They're like, thanks, guys. And it was just a guy walking by high-fiving a black cat.
Yeah.
That was it. It was really, really cute. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm going to drop Dustin Hopkins. I'm dropping him.
Why?
The kicker?
Why?
It's Dustin? Yeah. I'm dropping him. Because he's just too mediocre. He's missing field goals, missing extra points.
This week
I managed to move on in the finals in two leagues with him, and he made me extremely nervous. I'm cutting ties.
This week was a big week for kickers. They kept talking about it on the Monday Nighter that it was historic in terms of the opportunities that kickers had and the rate that they converted at.
Okay.
So it was a good week.
Hopkins ruined that rate.
Let down.
Could have even been better.
Okay, let's talk about Blake Bortles, who will remain the starter in Jacksonville despite his putrid season that he's been having. Bigger picture, though, they're still looking for a head coach, and something that stuck out to me yesterday was the fact that Dave Caldwell, the GM, said about his coaching search, we need to start the process. And if you think of the word process or starting the process, you usually go to trusting the process, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. They're trusting the process. Jacksonville, you're just concerned about starting it? That's how behind you are? That's kind of scary. And the Blake Bortles we just saw up there on the board, he's just had a really big letdown of a season for everyone involved.
Awful. I think everybody thought that there was going to be some regression from Blake Bortles, a lot of rushing touchdowns. Mm. And just the biggest thing with Jacksonville is the offensive line is not great. I give Bortles a little bit of a pass. As bad as he looks sometimes with his throws, he whips them in there. Allen Robinson has been very disappointing all season long. He's let me down big time in a lot of my leagues. I thought he was going to be fine this year. He dropped a lot of balls. He ran around routes. He wasn't on the same page as Bortles. And Marquise Lee's been the better wide receiver for about 5 or 6 weeks now. And you know what? That's not a surprise. Marquise Lee's a pretty good wide receiver. He was drafted like in the second round a couple of years ago. So he is a talented wide receiver, but you need to fix this offensive line. Bortles needs to have more time in the pocket. In fantasy land, he's still a top 10 quarterback. I mean, he's not a great real-life quarterback, but in fantasy, he's doable. He's manageable. You can play him. As much as that stinks and he stinks like garbage, you can just play him.
Speaking of stinking like garbage,
oh, here we go.
The Detroit Pistons, they dropped another one to Chicago, 113-82. I think it's their third consecutive loss by double digits. They've just been getting washed, and Stan Van Gundy, not one to really hold his tongue, let his team have it after the game. Humiliating, embarrassing, deplorable, putrid, pathetic. I don't know if he used all those words. He used some of them at the beginning, but I kind of just started going to my synonym bank in my head. But he is going to change the starting lineup is what he said. He's like, these guys will not be starting. And this came after a players-only meeting where they locked all the coaching staff out and they really tried to hash things out. Well, you go lose again by double digits, guys. Yeah. And then he said, it's not about what you talk about. Talk is cheap, basically. What are you doing on the court?
I wish we could play his quote. I mean, if you're into coaches and rants, I mean, John Torrell has some good ones, but Stan Van Gundy had a couple good ones last night, too, saying, like, oh, definitely won't trot out that five on Wednesday. And that was great. And he was talking about the players meeting, and he said, I don't care about that. Yeah. Like, it's all about what you do on the floor. So who's going to change? I mean, you look at the starting five. Is it Marquise Morris? Because he's the guy who really initiated that players' only meeting. And a lot of reporters were reporting on what he was saying in the room, saying, listen, we have to play for each other, not just for yourself, in order for things to get going. But he was awful again last night. I think he was 2 for 9. So maybe John Lohr comes in there. He's been fairly productive in a small sample size in minutes. I don't know exactly what they're going to do from the point guard position. And you see there with Lohr's numbers, he's available to be picked up. 16 points, as you see there on the board. Mm-hmm. But he's available to be picked up in leagues. You can probably trust him, maybe some more DFS. You need to this happen for a couple games, though, first. I mean, it's a couple shots in the dark here. I mean, Reggie Jackson is back at point guard. He hasn't been all that great. So, do they go back to Ish Smith a little bit more?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that could be done here. Detroit is just not all that great.
Well, Marcus Morris said after his time in Phoenix with Ish Smith a couple years ago that he's the best teammate he's ever played with. He's the best guy he's ever played
with. Ish Smith is?
Yeah, that Ish Smith is. And since Reggie Jackson came back, at one point Detroit's defense was top of the league. They're now sitting sixth, but they've been, I think it's 12th. Where is it? 12th, yeah. They've been 12th since Reggie Jackson came back.
Okay,
so I think the point guard spot might be something that's interesting. I know Reggie Jackson hated coming off the bench on his old team, so he might not take too kindly to being behind Ish Smith of all people, but he really facilitates the ball a lot better, so I think that he might get an uptick in minutes. And John Lohr, to your point, he was someone that was targeted quite a little bit by myself and Gabe Morenci last year when we would do our DFS.
And he's getting opportunities
head-to-heads, because he was someone that would do a lot with the time, no matter how small.
I don't think we have to worry about Drummond. I mean, he's not going to be out of the starting line.
Well, the good thing about Drummond was that he was saying no matter who it is, whether or not it's just him talking, but he said no matter who it is, everyone needs to put their egos aside and sit on the bench. And so when your leader is the one who's saying that, that's a good sign.
Let's be honest. Marquise Morris, the Morris brothers got issues. Marcus, yeah. The Morris brothers, they have issues.
I like the Morris brothers. I don't care. I just picked up Marquise for my season long. You should go do it too. Sure. What we're going to do, though, is we're going to come back in just a bit. We're going to switch gears. Chris talking about his second baseman rankings for the upcoming MLB season. This is Fantasy Sports Today, and it is time for Chris Meany's early second base rankings.
Because it is early.
It is early.
Tis the season, though.
Tis the season to get prepared for next year. You can never be too prepared, kids. It's something that my mom taught me. It's definitely paid off. Camera 2 is laughing. Like, what? My mom didn't teach me anything, Camera 2, Drew? Okay, I see how it is. All right, let's get started. We're going to pull up Chris's top 10 rankings with Altuve, the number one spot, Robinson Cano, Trey Turner, Murphy's on there, Segura, who we're going to talk to, Kinsler, Carpenter, Odor, rounding out the top 10. But we're going to start with Robinson Cano first. In 2013, he signed a 10-year, $240 million contract with Seattle. And since then, he hasn't been to the playoffs. But that doesn't mean that he's not a good player, and that doesn't mean that he's not worthy of your number two spot. 195 hits, 39 home runs, 103 RBI last year, Chris.
He's just safe. He's just safe. You know what? Last year I thought he was going to regress a little bit, and I was down on Robinson Cano. Didn't own him anywhere. But like I said, he's just a safe player. He hits all of those categories in step for stolen bases. But 39 home runs, that was his best ever last season. It's pretty crazy for a guy who's going to be 34 years old, but he's only has one DL stint in his career. So that's positive news. 235 ISO, second best in his career. 100-plus RBIs, 100-plus runs. He hadn't done that since 2011. He plays in not a hitter's-friendly ballpark and not a hitter's-friendly division, but he's got a nice lineup. We'll talk about Segura in a little bit. He just checks all these categories, Ashley. 19 players with over 20 home runs from the second base position. He's obviously one of them, as I talked about, but the year before that, only three. There's a big power surge in baseball, and it's really coming from the second base position. I've noticed, you know, before in the past when you're drafting from there, you know, you either want Altuve or you want Cano, and if you're not going to get them, you're fine with just, for me, I've always been fine with just taking like a Howie Kendrick or just an average second baseman that's not going to really do a whole lot for you, but won't hurt you in those categories. But there's a lot of second basemen even outside of this top 10. But for Cano, I mentioned the home runs. There's only four guys with at least 96 RBIs. He hits that category. Only four guys with 195 plus hits. He hits that category. Seven guys with 100 plus runs. He hits that. 10 guys with a 300 batting average. He hits that as well. Every category, but zero stolen bases. So that is a concern. If you draft him, you're going to want to get some speed elsewhere.
Gene Segura, he hits a few categories. You have him ranked at six, and now the Diamondbacks traded him to Seattle. Seattle, in the process, lost Martel and they lost Walker, but they gained a second. It was a huge deal, but they gained a second to second baseman. But the theory is that he's going to move over to shortstop since Cano is just, as you said, so reliable, so prolific at the second base spot, essentially.
Even defensively.
Yeah. So do you think he's going to keep dual eligibility? Is that why he's sixth in this instance?
He should. I mean, he should keep dual eligibility. He should have it all year. He'll lose it next year. You're right, Ashley. He's going to play shortstop all season long. There's no way he's going to take second base reps away from Robinson Cano. But I was in on Gene Segura last year. A lot of people were down on him, and he was the overall second best second baseman in fantasy last season. You're right. He hit all categories. He's leaving a hitter-friendly park and division to go over and play, as I mentioned, in Seattle, which is a tough hitter's ballpark and tough hitter's division. But the fly ball percentage went up. The hard hit contact went up. The walk rate tripled. The home run to fly ball ratio, it really was almost triple as well. So that's going to come down. I don't expect him to hit 20 home runs, but the runs, the stolen bases, and the average is going to be there. He had the second most hits among second basemen because of his speed. He can make things happen on the bases. He legs out infield grounders. That's just something that he does. And he's going to be at the top of a nice lineup with Cano, with Seager, with Cruz. So guys that can hit him in. So I'm a big believer in him. He's a top prospect. He's been moved around a lot. Don't take what he did in Milwaukee too seriously. You know, his young infant had passed away. He had got hit in the head on sitting on deck with a baseball bat. A lot of tragedy in his life over like an 18-month span. Mm-hmm. And now he's, you know, that has an effect on players. No doubt about it.
Well, not only that.
He bounced back in a big way.
Well, and we saw him last year. He just has like a really big run of bad luck. It was his inside the park home run where Kyle Schwarber tore all his aces, all his CLs, and he got the inside the park home run. Yeah. Schwarber obviously made it back just in time to win the World Series, which is nice for him. But let's talk about Trey Turner. You have him at number three. And would you be surprised if people flip-flopped him and Cano in their rankings this season?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm expecting most people to have Trey Turner at two. Already some drafts that have gone, some expert drafts. He went in the first round. He went 15th overall. That's pretty high for me. I don't want to spend a pick on Trey Turner when I've only seen about 300 plate appearances from him. No doubt this guy is talented. He's got a ton of talent. But 13 home runs in, what, 324 plate appearances? And for a guy who hit 12 home runs in 871 minor league appearances, that home run power is not going to happen. I expect him to hit about 13, 15, maybe 20 this season. But the average is going to be there. He's going to be hitting on the top of a nice Washington lineup. You see the speed. The speed is certainly legit as well. This guy's going to steal about 40 bags. So much like Seager, with the runs, the average, the stolen bases, that is enough to make him, you know, a top five certain second baseman. And he's going to get shortstop eligibility because that's where he's going to play for Washington. He's still going to have outfield eligibility too. I'm just not willing to spend a pick that high on someone that I've only seen a small sample size. Carlos Correa is a great example. Last year, 2 years ago, he came onto the scene in the second half. Mm-hmm. He was awesome. Everyone wanted him as a top five, top six pick. He certainly didn't return value. He regressed a little bit. Trey Turner, fantastic player. I don't think the power is legit. I'd just be cautious drafting him too early. I don't want to do it. I'd rather take a guy like Cano, who's done this before.
And the Nats, they were cautious with him too. He got hit with that threshold rule where they didn't bring him up in time because they wanted to control that seventh year of eligibility. Yeah. So they kind of held him back.
And they had awful guys playing second. Well, not second. Murphy was great, but but short. I mean, they had nobody there, and at center field, Ben Revere was awful. So I mean, yeah, what they got from that position was pathetic, and it was only a matter of time before they called him up.
All right. Well, everyone can check out your rankings. They're going to be online eventually. But talk to me about one of the sleepers at second base, someone that you might not be targeting. But again, if you don't get one of the top guys who are your favorite, depending on where you're drafting, that he might be someone you want to target a little bit later on.
Yeah, we won't get to Villar, but I don't believe in him. A lot of speed, but he'll do damage in points leagues. But Ryan Shrimp is a guy for San Diego. It's just power. It's just power is what I'm seeing. It's much like Turner, only about 300 plate appearances, 20 home runs, but at least he's done it in the minor leagues. I don't expect an average. You see there the strikeout percentage is ridiculously high, but in 2016 in the minors, 15 home runs, 2015, 23, 2014, 24, and 2013, 23. This is a guy who does have power. He can help you out. He's not a starting second baseman, but if you play with middle infield spots, you can put him in there. You can put him in there, and you can just splot him all over your roster because he's going to hit home runs.
You can splot him all over your roster. He went from AAA, as you mentioned, and then played 89 games in the majors. He's someone, though, that had a rough start. I think he went home runless for his first 18 games and then ended the season hitting one home run in 16 games. So he was really solid in the middle, but ended up pulling up those averages.
Yeah, he can help you. I mean, home runs are hard to come by. 20 is nice.
20 is nice. 20 is a nice number. We're going to continue on with our MLB early draft coverage throughout the entire week. So make sure you stick around and pay attention because Chris knows exactly what he's talking about. Coming up, though, we're going to switch over to NHL DFS. Michael Clifford joins us in just a moment. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome back to the program. Yesterday, we were talking to Neil Parker about an intimate slate of games.
Yes.
There was just five.
Just five.
You have to get really comfortable and close with a lot of people. I guess this slate of games would be, I don't know, one-night stands. There's 12 games on the ice. There's plenty of people to choose from. You kind of just got to pick and choose your places and hope that you hit a gold mine and talk about this. And I don't know how he's going to transition out of this. Michael Clifford, how's it going, my friend?
Yeah, it's going well. I'm not even going to bother.
I don't blame you.
That's fair.
You do some great stuff over there at Project Roto, always writing articles, sleepers, DFS plays, season-long stuff. I want to talk right off the top here about Henrik Lundqvist. Not only maybe a DFS play tonight against the New York Rangers, but somebody who really, you know, Antti Raanta has been taking a lot of his starts lately. And I know somebody had tweeted me last week and said, Lundqvist, you know, he got smoked behind the net by Cody Eakin, left the game momentarily, came back. Rangers end up getting a shutout. He didn't get the shutout in Yahoo leagues, and somebody was pretty upset about this. But if you own Lundqvist, not only would you play him tonight, but would you pick up Raanta in season-long formats just knowing that maybe he could just not be, like, down the stretch, he wouldn't play every single game?
Yeah, I think having, you know, if Raanta is available in your season-long leagues, it's definitely a good idea to grab him if you're the Lundqvist owner. Just, you want to be able to have that tandem for a good team. You know, you definitely don't want something like the Dallas Stars tandem or something like that. But when you have one of the top-end teams in the NHL, especially one that's going back and forth on their goaltending, you definitely want to be able to have both options if you can. As far as tonight goes, I think Lundqvist kind of fits the bill of that perfect tournament option. He should face a ton of rubber tonight. I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins take the most shots in the league for 60 minutes. So you have to assume he's going to face upwards and over 30 shots. And I know it's always dangerous facing the Penguins, but that's exactly what makes him a nice tournament play. Is that, you know, a goaltending performance from Henrik Lundqvist, it can easily result in a shutout. If you look at last season, they went into Pittsburgh twice in a span of about 3 weeks in the second half of the season. One was a shutout, one he got blown up on. So that's the kind of tournament option you're looking for. You're looking for a guy with a ton of upside, and he won't have any ownership on him whatsoever tonight. He should be under 5%, and he's definitely a guy that can put up some big numbers.
And as we saw on the board there, you're going to be saving some money if you go with him. He's not in the top 10 pricing in goalies, especially in DraftKings. So if you're saving that kind of cash, where are you going to spend it? Are you looking to spend on center or one of the wingers perhaps? Who's your most expensive play today?
For me, if you're playing cash games today, and I'm talking 50-50s and double ups and things like that, I don't see how Brent Burns isn't the first player that you put in your lineup. This guy's just been out of this world for pretty much 2.5 seasons now. He's averaging about 4 shots a game, a couple block shots a game. So on DraftKings, you're looking at a floor of no less than 3 points. Tonight, they have Calgary coming in on the back-to-back. Calgary having played last night in Arizona. And Calgary is a team that takes a lot of penalties as well. And we know how deadly that San Jose power play can be. I know they haven't been the best this year, but I kind of think it's a little bit more bad luck than anything. If you watch the games, if you look at some of the numbers, you know, they've just been kind of unreal. So if you're playing in cash games, there are enough cheap options on the slate tonight where putting Brent Burns in your lineup doesn't hinder you, and I just don't see how he doesn't have a very good fantasy performance tonight.
Joe Thornton called him the best player in the NHL.
I think that's fair, and yeah. I think you should trust Joe.
Yeah, Beard Brothers. you know who's not the best player in the NHL? Nino Niederreiter, but fresh off a new contract, 5-year deal with the Islanders. What do you make of him, and what do you make of just everything that's going on in New York? I want you to kind of touch on Tavares, too.
He's with the Wild now.
Oh, right. My bad.
Yeah, former Islander. Yeah,
former Islander. But I still want you to touch on Tavares. I want to know what's going on with him and if he's going to stay with the Islanders.
Yeah, he was part of that Clutterbuck trade. You know, as far as Tavares goes, personally, I think they made a mistake getting rid of Kyle Okposo. I know, you know, they said they don't have the cap space and all that, but they pretty much just shipped Okposo out and brought in Andrew Ladd, and you saw how well Tavares and Okposo have played together over the years. He was kind of his running mate. And I think another thing, too, is Tavares seems to have kind of transitioned himself more into a two-way center. So he's less the 80-plus point guy that we kind of expected, and he's more that Patrice Bergeron type. You know, a guy that can still put up points, but he can also rely on defensively. And I think that's definitely a conscious effort on his part. He wants to be that type of center. And obviously, you know, if you can be the type of guy like Patrice Bergeron or Anze Kopitar, where you're not putting up, you know, 80, 90 points a season, but you're reliable both ways, it can be a very good thing for your team. The problem is supporting cast there isn't that great. Now, as far as Nino Niederreiter goes for tonight, I think what kind of put me onto him tonight is, you know, not only is it Colorado, and if you look at Colorado over the last few weeks, they're consistently giving up over 60 shot attempts a game at 5-on-5, and that's abysmal. Like, you know, we're talking Arizona Coyotes, New York Islanders range. Like, it's been really bad, you know, over close to the last month for Colorado. And they also, the Avalanche also spend the second most time per game shorthanded, and Niederreiter's actually starting to get some power play time now on the Koivu unit. So he's, you know, somewhat cheap on FanDuel. He's only 4,400. So he's another one of those cheap options that you can get in that's in a good situation that can help you get access to some of the more expensive players like Brent Burns.
Fair enough.
So John Tavares taking on Boston, $7,100. Are you looking at Crosby, Stamkos, Eichel, Seguin, any of those big names for your lineups? So we have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't mind Seguin tonight. You know, the Blues on that back-to-back, you know, St. Louis goaltending's been a problem for them all year, but I think Seguin's more of a tournament option for me. I just don't know if the shot volume will be there, so you're kind of relying solely on point production, and that's kind of risky. So it's more of a tournament. But I'm not really paying up at center tonight. I'm more apt to go and pay up at the wing for... you're kind of flushing, but you know, even somebody like Tyler Toffoli is somebody that I'm looking at for FanDuel, a little bit more of an expensive wing, and definitely looking to pay up on the blue line.
All right, perfect. Well, Michael, we got to get out of here, but happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we hope you have a great week.
All right, same thing to you guys. Take care.
All right, take care,
Thanks
buddy.
For joining us. Bye. Talking about Tavares, laughing about his supporting cast. Yeah, he actually scoffed. Well, he's like,
I still thought Niederreiter was there. So, yeah.
That's okay.
It's not great. I mean, Tavares' supporting cast is not great.
No, it's not. No. But you're great. Well, and I think I'm great if I'm as your supporting cast.
Absolutely.
Look,
yeah, I appreciate you.
Look at us getting along. It's so weird. We won't keep this up throughout the rest of the week, I promise.
And Cliffy liked, he's a great follow, @SlimCliffy, but he liked Philip Deneau, too. Little Habs shout out. I know a team he
Obviously,
plays for.
The Habs. See ya.